and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Monday, January 10th, and I am reading from the New International Version. I kind of want to give you a heads up for where we are in each of the scriptures today. Today we are in Genesis chapter 9. We're continuing the story of Noah. Then we'll go to Psalm 43, and we're in the second half of that psalm. And then we'll go to Mark chapter 5. Let's begin with Genesis chapter 9. Then God blessed Noah and his sons, saying to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth. The fear and the dread of you will fall upon the beast of the earth and all the birds of the air, upon every creature that moves along the ground, and upon all the fish of the sea. They are given into your hands. Everything that lives and moves will be food for you. Just as I gave you the green plants, I now give you everything. But you must not eat meat that has lifeblood in it. And for your lifeblood, I will surely demand an accounting. I will demand an accounting from every animal. And from each man, too, I will demand an accounting for the life of his fellow man. Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God has God made man. As for you, be fruitful and increase in number. Multiply on the earth and increase upon it." Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "I now establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that was with you, the birds, the livestock, and all the wild animals, all those that came out of the ark with you, every living creature on earth. I establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be cut off by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth." And God said, "This is a sign of the covenant I am making between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth." So God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant I have established between me and all life on the earth." The sons of Noah who came out of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Ham was the father of Canaan. These were the three sons of Noah, and from them came the people who were scattered over the earth. Noah, a man of the soil, proceeded to plant a vineyard. When he drank some of its wine, he became drunk and lay uncovered inside his tent. Ham, the father of Canaan, saw his father's nakedness and told his two brothers outside. But Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it across their shoulders. Then they walked in backwards and covered their father's nakedness. Their faces were turned the other way so that they would not see their father's nakedness. When Noah awoke from his wine and found out what his youngest son had done to him, he said, "Cursed be Canaan. The lowest of slaves will he be to his brothers." He also said, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Shem. May Canaan be the slave of Shem. May God extend the territory of Japheth. May Japheth live in the tents of Shem, and may Canaan be his slave." After the flood, Noah lived 350 years. Altogether, Noah lived 950 years. and then he died. Before we move on, I want to talk just a little bit about this weird story of Noah getting drunk. Remember yesterday that I told you that this is kind of a recreation story that Noah and his family was told to be fruitful and multiply? And today we see Noah kind of living out this recreation story. So he gets out of the boat, he worships the Lord, and then he goes to plant a vineyard. Jen Wilkin, in her Bible study, God of Creation, on the first part of Genesis, helped me to see that this word for vineyard can also be translated garden. And so it makes us think back to Adam. Adam worked the soil, and so does Noah. And when Noah produces a vineyard, then what happens? He drinks from the vineyard and he gets drunk, just like Adam and Eve took the fruit that was forbidden. And when they took the fruit, what happened? It revealed their nakedness. We see nakedness in this second recreation story. So Noah, after he drinks the fruit of the vine, then he lies naked in his tent. And then what happens? Do you remember who comes in first? Ham. His son Ham saw his father's nakedness and told his two brothers outside. Now, that's not a lot of information, but Jen Wilkin thinks about it this way. She said that probably he goes outside and he makes fun of his dad. He kind of celebrates the sin of another, in so many words. And we see the other two brothers behaving in a very different way. Instead of celebrating when a righteous person falls, they instead go backwards into the tent. They don't even look on their father's shame and his nakedness. And then they cover his nakedness. And so when Noah wakes up, of course, he is very mad with Ham. And Jen Wilkin goes into this whole long spiel about how Ham is not the one that is cursed, but Canaan, which would be Ham's son, is actually cursed. And this is an important thing to note, because oftentimes when we sin, we think that it's only affecting us. But in fact, our sin affects those around us. Another thing that she pointed out that I think is very important for us is that we tend to celebrate when a righteous person falls. She talked about how Noah was so righteous. He walked with God. He spent 100 years building this ark. He stayed in the ark. And then he had a bad day. He sinned against the Lord. And when he sinned, Ham took the opportunity to celebrate his unrighteousness. And we do this too. She talks about leaders who fall from grace and how we sometimes celebrate that to validate our own inconsistencies. So I think that was a good lesson for us, that when someone falls, that we should be gentle to restore them, and that we shouldn't think that we are higher than we are. Pride comes before the fall, as we all know. So if you want more on that, I can send you Jen Wilkin's teaching on this passage, and I think it would bless you. Let's move forward now to the book of Psalms. Today we are reading Psalm 34, verses 8 through the end of the psalm. Starting in verse 8, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. He protects all his bones. Not one of them will be broken. Evil will slay the wicked. The foes of the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems his servants. No one will be condemned who takes refuge in him. Now let's turn over to the book of Mark. Today we are in Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. And the title in my Bible says, "The Healing of a Demon-Possessed Man." They went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an evil spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Swear to God that you won't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you evil spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them." He gave them permission, and the evil spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by a legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, "Go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. Thank you for listening along as we read God's word. Today in this story in Mark, these words stick out to me. Go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. I want you just to take a minute to think about the myriad of ways that the Lord has had mercy on us. How he has had mercy on you personally, on your family, on those around you, and what he has done for you. And then if you have opportunity today, I just want to encourage you to tell someone about what the Lord has done for you. As we speak about what the Lord has done, we think about Missions Monday. And today we're praying for Ruba Abbasi, who works with the Arab Center for Consulting and Training Services and also is the head of Arab Women Today. These organizations seek to serve women and children. I hope that you were able to worship with us yesterday and to hear Ruba speak. She has some very specific prayer requests for us today. We need to pray that the year will be fruitful in all that they plan to do. And then also there's a praise that her son Randy will join their ministry in Jordan. He will leave the USA at the end of the month. And so she asks that we pray for the transition and this new faith step that he is taking to serve the Lord in media and production. Would you pray with me? Father, you have done so much for us. We give you praise for the myriad of ways that we see your mercy and your grace on display. Thank you, Lord, for covering our shame. Thank you, Lord, that in Christ Jesus, we can be called righteous. We can put on his robe of righteousness. Thank you, Lord, for being patient with us. We pray, Lord, that we would continue to turn our hearts to you, to seek you as our refuge. Help us to taste and see that you, the Lord, are good. And thank you, Lord, for this powerful story in Mark that reminds us that you are Lord of all. You are Lord over all that you have created, and you have done so much for each of us. We pray today for Ruba Abbasi and for these ministries of which she is a part. We ask, Lord, that you would continue to bless their ministry and bless Randy as he transitions to work alongside his parents. We thank you, Lord, that the word is going forward in Jordan and to the Arab world. We pray for women and children and all people in the Arab world, Lord, that they would come to know you and the power of your resurrection. And we pray all of this in Christ's name. Amen.